You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Thank you for tuning in on this Sunday. Beautiful Sunday. I'm here in Laguna. And as some of you know, I'm moving. And so there's going to be a little transitional period here with the show. There might be some travel in there. But I have a jam-packed show with a lot of talented people today. And so first, I want to say a big shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you so much to Michael Solberg Family Wines. Leah Solberg, thank you so much for everything that you do for the show. Shout out to Shane Hyman. He's amazing at Next Level Global Solutions. Thank you so much for everything you do, as well as La Casa del Camino here in Laguna Beach. Shout out to Felton Calhoun, the GM there. So if you're ever looking for a staycation and you're living in the San Diego or LA area, come down to Laguna. It's right in the middle. I'm here on PCH today. There's a lot of action, so you might hear some noise, but we're going to keep the show going. And today we have our first guest, Crystal. Crystal, how's it going? Welcome to the Startup.
Hi, wow. Thank you so much. I'm doing really well. Calling in or streaming in from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Nice. Beautiful. How's Nolens doing? Did you get a good cup of gumbo yet?
That is everyday cuisine.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, right? Wonderful. Oh, well, you look wonderful, and I'm loving the color, this pink on you. Well, you're welcome. And for the listeners and viewers, and just in case they're not familiar with you and your brand, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So I am Crystal Hardy Allen, and I am the founder and CEO of a global education and management consulting firm that is based in New Orleans, Louisiana. We serve about 10 different countries total, doing three things: customized workshops, strategic planning services, and also one-on-one leadership or executive coaching.
Wow. Wonderful. Yeah. You're really covering a lot. And I'm hearing people, you know, kind of say that there is a need for quality to be stepped up in those areas, in teaching. Absolutely. And leadership. Is that why you started? Or,
well, you know, my formal background is that of being a school teacher and school principal, and so I was able to transfer my love for teaching, for helping others, and really building the capacity of empowering someone to go to their next level, translating that from working with young people and teachers to working with organizations, companies, and government agencies across the world.
Wow, that is really impressive. I mean, you're in New Orleans right now. Nolens, everybody. Nolens, no less. So where do you see your company going? Right now, where are you guys based? I know you said you're international, so tell us the countries that you're reaching now, and then where are you looking to be maybe in 2020 at the end of the year and then first quarter of next year?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So right now we serve a number of states within the U.S. As well as India, Pakistan, Jamaica, South Africa, Nigeria, I'm trying to remember, Mexico, and also Canada. So we're in a lot of different places, and those spots abroad are really fitting into two buckets. Either we are working with a leader of a nonprofit organization or a leader within a school system and coaching them to increase their effectiveness, or we're providing trainings to a set of educators. All of it at this moment in time is all virtual. It was prior to COVID, and we continue that because it's way less expensive for the client to, you know, secure our services that way than to spend the money and the costs associated with international travel. And by the end of this year, we in Impact would have touched at least 50 different clients and organizations throughout the U.S. educational school system via private and public schools, but also over 30 different nonprofits and government agencies in the U.S. and over 15 different for-profit companies in the U.S., including Google, Amazon, Microsoft, et cetera. Globally, by the end of the year, I don't actually know those precise numbers. We have to do...
That's okay.
Up to date. Yeah, a guesstimate. I would say at least five different organizations, because the organizations that we work with, they themselves have global reach. So for instance, we might be leading a teacher training, but it's an organization that has teachers in India, teachers in Jamaica, teachers in Mexico. And so they're all on the same virtual space with us at the same time. And so we're really excited to be able to support the pain points and the needs of so many diverse clients in so many different places. And I will tell you, you know, to a point that you shared earlier, I think the thing that organizations are looking for, especially from consultants, are making sure that folks have quality receipts and track records for what it is that they do. Because there are a lot of fraudulent folks out in the consulting world, you know, just to be honest. And so we pride ourselves on being able to not just say that we read something from an article and we're recommending it, but myself and the consultants that we work with, we've done the work ourselves. So we're not advising people on things that we don't have a track record of success having done in their same seats, but then also the willingness to walk with them through the change. So we don't believe in a one and done experience, you know, where you go, you sit in a training, a workshop or a coaching session, and that's it. We are connected to folks for months, 6, 9 months, a year, 2, 3 years out. And that way we're able to really coach them deeply, right? Be a thought partner when there are hiccups, and really help them celebrate their wins, right? So that accountability is important.
Yes. And seeing them through the finish line. I mean, all roads go back to track and field for me, but you know, you really are coaching. You're an executive coach in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I love that you are touching all these areas in the world. So what, you know, there's so many questions and we don't have a lot of time. I want you to come back because why don't you share in the last 3 minutes we have with you right now, what you want people to know going forward, what we're missing with your organization and what you do different?
Yeah. So, you know, one, I will say that I am a week and a half away from the official launch of my very first book. It's called What Goes Unspoken. And so I was offered a book deal last year from Wiley and Josie Bass, as the one of the oldest and largest publishing companies in the world, to produce or write this first book based on the work that I've done with a lot of major tech companies and large organizational clients. And this book is essentially a roadmap and a playbook for moving conversations around diversity, inclusion, and equity, moving them from theory and being so abstract to being very concrete and practical. So in this book, we focus a lot on what does that look like in marketing and branding and finance and engagement with the community and hiring, HR, all the things. And that text will be in Barnes & Noble and also Books A Million. It's already on Amazon and those retail sites as well on pre-order, but it'll physically be on shelves on October 3rd. And so that tool, I'm really excited about.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much. But I'm excited for folks to get it in their hands and really have a way to ask deeper questions, a way to audit themselves and their organizations, and a way to also hold institutions more accountable to not being performative.
Beautiful. We are going to go deeper, Di. I'm going to have you come back because we could touch on a lot of that, including, you know, there's a few things I'm working on documentary wise that I'll share with you offline until I announce it. But it ties in with the book and the inclusivity and all of that and what it looks like, how it shows up in your organization instead of just getting, putting on a shirt and posting something once every year. I love that, you know, that you're trying to push the ball, you know, and just make it work. And congratulations on your book. We're going to have to invite you to the Emmys gifting suite and get some of your books out to some of these celebrities. I think that would be really valuable.
Oh, that would be absolutely incredible. And we are definitely, you know, my whole team is really excited about what it will mean for folks to even have the same language and understanding of these words, because so many things are buzzwords currently too, you know, and when you ask people like, what does it really mean? They may not be able to define it. And so it's hard to actualize or materialize something you can't even define, you know? So this book is really a teaching tool for parents, you know, for professionals, et cetera. But again, it's called What Goes Unspoken. And it is by myself, Crystal Allen, and listeners should and viewers should check it out for sure.
I'm excited for you, and I know it's just the first of many, my dear. I think that this is beautiful. You're adding something for your legacy. You're giving people something tangible. Thank you for being a change agent for good. And we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy NOLA. I know you are.
Oh, absolutely. The weather is really great right now. I'm like, yeah. I don't know if you can tell, but it's really wonderful and beautiful outside. And this has been rare. This summer, the heat has been unbearable.
I bet. Now, go ahead and give us your handles real quick. Where can we find you? Can we follow you?
Yes, that's a great question. So follow me on Instagram at k.allen, A-L-L-E-N, dot consulting. So it's K Allen Consulting on IG. On X, I was going to say Twitter, it's at K Allen Consult. And on Facebook, it is K Allen Consulting as well. So same on pretty much all platforms.
You're giving me so much life. I need to start working on all the books. But thank you for being here, Crystal.
We will see you really soon,
and I will chat with you offline about a few things.
Absolutely. And you know what? Let me take a quick little screenshot so we can put it on our socials. Do you mind?
Not at all. Hey, okay. Guys.
Hello. All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I think I got it. I wasn't 100% sure there.
We could do it one more time. Why don't we do one more?
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay. There we go. I heard the sound.
We'll see you soon, my dear. Be well, be safe, okay?
You too. All right. Bye.
All right, guys. That was Crystal Allen launching her new book. And we'll get you guys some information in the posts and chats. All right. Coming up next, we have Nelly. I believe we have Nelly coming up. Is Nelly in the wings? Okay, Sam, let's see. I think we have either Nelly or Heidi coming up. We have so many great people, guys. I want to also, while we're waiting, let me check the chat here and see what Sam's saying to me. Okay, great. All right, I'm ready for the next person, Sam, whoever you got. and while I'm waiting for them to appear, I want to give a shout out to Found Bank. Found Bank is an online bank for entrepreneurs, for businesses. I found them recently, you know, trying to keep everything organized and separated from your personal banking is important. And a lot of times, traditional banks don't know what you need as a startup, and they can't meet your needs. You know, a lot of times there's transfer limits and all these crazy things and holds and stuff. But so far, Found is really great because they actually they give you an estimate of how much tax you're going to need to pay. So they can even hold it for you, but they tell you what to expect to pay and when you're expected to pay it. So it guides you. They give you, you know, all the basic things that a banking checking account would do. So Found, thank you so much. I'm glad I found you. And let's see who else we have. All right, we're still waiting. That's okay. Guys, let's give you an update on the Endemic Project. I know you see this beautiful African figurine behind me. I'm not in South Africa. I wish I were. I'm supposed to be there. But again, you know, you make plans and you have to pivot. So right now I am in the middle of this move and, you know, wanting to get a bigger space for the podcast studio and for my home and all that. So I'm working on something really great. So that might take another couple weeks, but we're still just keeping it going. And that's what we're doing. So, all right, let's see if we've got Heidi here. Heidi, how you doing?
I am really good. How are you?
Wonderful. Welcome to the startup.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's so exciting to be here.
Wonderful. Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us who you are and what your brand is.
Yeah. So I'm Heidi Moore. I'm actually up in the Willamette Valley. I'm in Oregon, heart of the wine country up here. And I am the hostess, of the Wine Crush podcast up here.
I love that. We definitely need to talk. And I should have had my wine glass ready, but I'm cutting down a little bit right now. I'm going to the gym. But I love Willamette. It's such a vast area. I mean, I feel like it's going to take a long time for me to actually get through all the wineries. But wonderful. Tell me about your podcast and how did you start it?
So I started the podcast. We just wrapped up our sixth season, so technically six-ish years ago. And really, the whole premise behind the podcast is it kind of started with my day job. My day job is insurance. I do everything from home and auto to small business, commercial, and farm. And winery was just a brand new product that we had come out with. And in my wisdom of marketing and branding and trying to get like my name out there, the podcast was approached to me from a local radio station actually in Portland. And they were developing some podcasts, and she just happened to pick up the magazine I was marketing in at the right place at the right time. And that was kind of where the conversation started. And it's just, I've kind of ran with it from there.
I love when things are so serendipitous and easy and they just kind of flow. Congratulations on 6 years, six seasons on your podcast. That is quite the accomplishment, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're very proud of what we've created and what we're doing and what we hope we're doing for the wineries and the people in the area.
So I'd love to hear what you're excited about. Happy harvest, by the way. I have my pumpkin. Harvest.
Yes. Happy harvest to you too. This is my favorite time of year. So this is exciting for me. And harvest is in like full blown mode around here. So you're seeing grapes coming off the vine left and right.
What varietals, what vineyards, you know, I know you don't need to plug people if you don't need to plug them, but if you do want to plug them, yeah. What are you excited about? What are you excited to get in your glass this fall?
Oh goodness. That question is so loaded. As you may or may not know, so Oregon, especially the Willamette Valley, is known for its Pinot Noir grapes. And so there's a ton of Pinot coming off the vines right now. And that can be anywhere from, you know, they can create, you know, the beautiful red wine that we're known for, but it also can be a sparkling wine. It can be a rosé. It can be a lot of other things. But we're also really producing some beautiful Chardonnay, and Riesling happens to probably be my favorite. So I'm always excited to see what the new Riesling is that's coming off the vine and how Mother Nature and the weather has affected it, you know, this year.
I love that. You're reminding me of a book I was reading called Vertical. It was the next book after Sideways, and Miles winds up at, Miles winds up in, we got a lot of motorcycles here at the beach today. Miles winds up in Willamette and for part two of the film. So, you know, he leaves off in Solvang and he winds up there because, you know, he loves his Pinot. You know, yes. He's got his collection in his closet. So you're reminding me of that. And I've got to get back there. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm with you on the Riesling. The other day I had a beautiful Viognier, and if I can't get a Riesling, then I try to find a Viognier if possible. But Pinots are really great right now, guys, for the fall. I think it's great with anything that you're going to eat in the fall, right?
I would 1,000,000% agree with that. I think Pinot, red wine as a whole, really kind of gets pigeonholed into you have to eat it with a red meat, or you have to eat it with like a heavy, you know, heavy red sauce type, you know, dish, pasta, whatever. But Pinot is so versatile. It can be so elegant. It can be so fresh. That I love it with popcorn. Like that's one of my favorite pairings is with just buttery, salty popcorn. We've had peanut butter cookies in the studio and doing some taste testing, and the Pinot like really whooped it with that, the peanut butter and the Pinot together. But Pinot can go with anything. It can be so elegant, be so wonderful, and it's versatile across the board. It goes with almost any sort of food.
There you go. Let's not put Pinot in a box, people.
Don't
put it on in the box. Yeah. All right. Well, Heidi, I'm excited to see what you do next. Why don't you go ahead and plug your socials where people can link up with you? Are you acting as a guide or liaison for people maybe that are new to Willamette in the area that don't really know? Can you offer some services, how to guide people? Or what do you do when newcomers come to town?
So it's funny you ask that. So there is a big gaping hole kind of in that specific realm. And in Oregon specifically, there are 1,500 wineries and growing. So yeah. You can get really lost really easy. And there's all these amazing industries and like supporting partners, you know, whether it's transportation, restaurant, hotels. And so we've actually taken our website, which is winecrushpodcast.com, and we have made it a travel guide. So we're helping to kind of point people towards the right directions on who they want to see, what they want to do. There's a listing of all the podcasts we've made and recorded. We really like to emphasize the small guys, the boutiques that don't have the big, you know, houses yet. They're still just really hustling and grinding, and we love to give them a lot of extra love. So you can find a lot of my information on Wine Crush Podcast on Instagram. TikTok is creation in the making, and Facebook, of course, and our website is beautifully done, newly rebranded and ready for the travelers to come in.
Congratulations. I'll have to talk to you offline for a couple opportunities. My wine partner, Michael Solberg Family Wines, Leah Solberg, she lives out there in Escondida. And maybe we could come say hi to you on your podcast. You're on mine. We can give you some
absolutely
love.
All for friends across the board. Come in and we'll record and have some great fun. And I'm always looking for great personalities to feature, because for me, that's what I fell in love with the wine industry, was yes. The personalities and the stories. And the wine was kind of, you know, came second.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, very good. I'm going to invite you through your PR people to our Celebrity Emmys event in January. Maybe you could bring a good Riesling. Maybe you could bring a good Pinot. We'll chat offline.
That would be fantastic. I got so many great things to bring.
All right, Heidi, thank you for being here on a Sunday. You guys, Heidi Moore, give us your hashtag one more time so people can find you.
Yes, Wine Crush Podcast across pretty much every socials, and then also online with our website too.
Beautiful. Have a beautiful day, and cheers, Heidi.
Cheers to you as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys, Heidi was awesome. We've got to have her back, and I've got to have some wine in my hand. Like I've been working on my fitness. So I'm cutting down a little bit, but let me see what Sam's saying to me, because I know he's got something here. All right. Hey, Nellie's here. Hi, Nellie.
Hey, Monique. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well.
Good. I feel like you need my glasses for that shirt, or I need your shirt for
my glasses. I think it's a very good combination. I was just walking in downtown today, and someone was like, oh, like, you're the most colorful person in all of downtown today. And it was true. Everyone was like in black and gray, and this is a whole dress. So you only see the top of it, but it's actually a whole dress to my feet. So I should definitely have your glasses too.
Yes, and I'm hearing a beautiful accent, and I feel like it's either Norway or Sweden, or where's that accent from?
You're right. There's very few people that guess it right. It is Sweden. Actually, a lot of people are guessing like South Africa, Dutch, Australian, some people. Like I've heard all different places, but yeah, it's Swedish. You're right.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand.
Absolutely. So I'm Nellie Wartoft. I'm the founder and CEO of Tiger Hall. And we are a knowledge sharing platform, which helps companies to help their employees learn, share knowledge internally and also between companies. And I started this 5 years ago because I was personally very fed up with the education system. And what we were learning is not really helping people to get ahead in the business world. And then I was working as a recruiter in talent acquisition, and I always had candidates who were like, why am I like not getting ahead? Like, how can I get my next role? How can I get visibility internally? Like all of these questions they had around how to get ahead in their careers. And I was like, I'm just a lowly recruiter. I don't know the answers to these questions, but I know the people who do. And they were my customers that I was recruiting for. So I started thinking, how can we better connect people who want to learn from each other? And doing kind of like mentorship at scale, if you will, that's how it started. And enabling people to learn, share knowledge, information in a much more engaging way than traditional like email, town halls, learning platforms that are kind of in use at the moment. So that's high level what we're doing.
You know, it's got to feel really great to be in a sector, in a niche that you already are interested in, but then you see a need and people are leaning on you, and then you're creating value, but you're also feeling like you're validated as well. It sounds like that was the scenario that you just shared.
It was very much, yeah, like starting from my own personal frustrations with it started when I was like 14, right? And I was like, why are we studying the Pythagoras theorem? Why are we memorizing the periodic table? Like, why are we wasting so much time on this? We can just Google this in the future. Like, we're not needing to know this extent of it in comparison to how many of us need to know how to host a virtual meeting, how to write a business email, how to, let's say, hi to a client. Like, those kind of things are much more needed in your day-to-day, and no one ever teaches you. And the same with personal finance. Like, people don't know what compound interest is, and they're losing money on their credit cards, but they damn know what gold and silver is in the periodic table, right? So that's what I feel is very skewed. So started there, and then just kind of like added on with like, oh, people also have this challenge, and we can also help with this. And this is also how they can use it. And then it just kind of grew into this very large intercompany and intra-company knowledge exchange that it is today.
If you're open, let's see what we can do here. I would love for you to give us something for like startup, for entrepreneurs, like you were talking about, compound interest. Give us a little golden nugget, if you will, or a little tip for startup entrepreneurs. Maybe they're having trouble, you know, saving capital, or these little tricks of the trade can really add up. I was just sharing in my little break, Found Bank online, where they calculate your taxes, what they might be for what you're depositing, and they show you where you might be paying, like, okay, January, you're going to owe this. And I find that really helpful for a fast-paced person who doesn't have time for all of that. Like, it's good to know coming then. Maybe there's something in your toolbox that you could share with startups, you know, that might make life a little easier.
Well, I think when it comes to fundraising, so we've raised $11 million and our backers include Sequoia Capital, is the largest one, and Monk's Hill Ventures. And my golden nugget, if you will, when it comes to fundraising is always raise twice as much as you think you need and count on it for lasting half as long as you think it will. So if you think you need $1 million for a year, then raise $2 million and assume it's going to last for 6 months.
Wow,
so that's really my top principle.
That is the truth, too.
Yeah. And also one more on that subject is it takes just as much work to raise $5 million as it takes to raise $500,000. So you might as well just spend that effort and time on raising $5 million instead of wasting your time raising $500K. So always raise as much as you can is another one of my advice.
Beautiful, beautiful. What are you seeing in the education space? Because I did have Crystal Allen on a little earlier, and she was talking about, you know, her, she's just got a new book, and she's putting all her skills together in that book, and it's amazing. But what are you seeing in the educational space, maybe that if people are, bridging the gap there? I know that there's a lot of growth that needs after the pandemic. I did a couple documentaries on the pandemic. I hear it all the time that education's kind of dropping off. Parents aren't happy. They're being kind of emotionally abused and physically abused and not taken care of. What are you seeing there that maybe we're missing? Macro view.
I think across all the way from like primary school up until adult education, I think what we're seeing is a more and more like lack of being in touch with reality. And that was also the big thing I reacted to way back. But I see that has been accelerating more and more when you think of like, what is the, how long time does it take to develop a curricula or a course or something? Like, that is historically taking a lot of time. And if you take like universities, right, it takes them like 3 to 5 years to develop a course. So if you take something like Gen AI, you might see that showing up in university courses in like the next 4 to 5 years around there. And by then it's already going to be something else. And you look at any kind of computer science education, what you learn today is going to be completely obsolete in the next 6 months, right? So the speed of which education needs to keep up and that people need to always be agile and learn new things, that has been accelerating like nothing else. And I think that puts new pressure on also what are the skills and the mindsets that we pick up. And we've moved from like a knowledge focused education system to a little bit more towards a skills based education system. But I believe that we need to move further to a mindset based education system. Because if you think of it, like, we don't need knowledge, we can Google it. We almost in the future won't need skills. We'll have AI and other tools doing it, like high level. But the mindsets, that is where the differentiator is. And if you look at who's succeeding, what companies are succeeding out there, it is the companies with the most agile mindsets, the ones who are willing to learn, willing to innovate, willing to try new things, like always learning, always like challenging yourself. That's the kind of mindset that is succeeding. So it's no longer about who has the most knowledge. Like that's, we're far beyond that. And very soon it's going to be like, skills are going to have a very, very short shelf life too. So that's where we need to move on to the mindset piece. So that's how I see it's been moving historically and where I think we need to go in the future.
Beautiful insight. I love the word agile. And I think you're right. I think people get in their feelings a little too long. You got to embrace change and you really have to move out of your own way and go, all right, this thing's happening. So either I'm going to join it and get ahead of it and be in it and be better and, you know, anticipate what's next, or be left in the dust. I mean, I remember Saver, you know, that newspaper, the little weekly newspaper you'd get in your mailbox, and you could sell, oh, we got more motorcycles here on the beach here. Woo-hoo. But you'll get it and, you know, for sale, you know, you would post your weekly sales or whatever, you apply for a job through it. And that essentially was replaced by Craigslist. I remember that transition. I remember using Thomas Guide to look up. I was casting reality shows. We had this thick book that had all the streets in LA County and we'd have to look them up and try to, this was before Magellan, you know, and then Magellan, Google Maps and, you know, so in real time, I had to implement those things, and I was so grateful for the technology. What are you excited about that's coming up or that you're looking into this last quarter or maybe at the start of 2024? What are you getting into?
Well, I'm not going to say AI because I think everyone else is saying that. So
you can still be excited about it, though.
I am excited about it. I am excited about AI and what it can do, especially within education, given that education is so much around content, personalization and delivery of that personalized content. So I think AI has a big job to be doing there. I am more excited though about the inclusivity in global education and when it comes to mindsets, like how things like sharing knowledge across borders. I'm very passionate about inequality and social mobility and breaking down those barriers of knowledge. And the way knowledge has historically been held and in very small, like elite groups, and like where you come from is very much determined, like, are you able to get into an Ivy League school? Like that is determined pretty much the moment you're born, right? And breaking down that barrier, that's something that I'm much more excited about than AI, to be frank. And seeing that, like how knowledge is happening across borders, across socioeconomic levels, like breaking down those barriers is something that I think we'll get a lot more attention in the next 5 years. And that's something that I'm very much looking forward to out of personal passion reasons too.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that as well. I think TED Talks and things like that really open our minds to people all over the world with different educations and lets little, you know, young people know I could do that, right? I mean, it kind of, and it's at their fingertips. And I think that, you know, what you're saying is so, so great. How do we remain ethical with AI? I'm in an MBA program right now, and I'm not using AI. How do you foresee a pathway where you can still show up and show that you've learned the content, the material, the coursework, but have that competitive edge where it's not crossing a line? How do you foresee that?
So I think the most important way of being ethical with AI is for everyone to get into it and start using it. I see right now that it's causing an even bigger divide, and you have people that go like, oh no, it's going to destroy the world and it's awful and like, don't do it, don't get into it. And like, they are not getting into it. And then you have the other side of it. They're just extremely, this is going to save humanity. It's the most amazing thing ever. And they do everything in AI. And I think the danger we risk running into is if we drive that divide further and we have the AI big believers and the AI haters, and we don't want to end up in those two camps. So what I advise is for everyone to just start getting into it, just start understanding it, just start using it. Like even if it's things like, you know, bring ChatGPT into your workflow, use Copilot that Microsoft launched 3 days ago that we're also part of and integrated with, use all of these small things that can help you in your day-to-day work and use that, like, and be curious, be interested in it. So coming back to the mindset, right, like the people always need to be agile and always changing and picking up new mindsets and skills. Like, you need this mindset of curiosity to be able to understand AI, because the most dangerous thing that we can do is to leave this in the hands of a few very powerful white men in Silicon Valley. I don't want it to end up there. And I think most people don't want it to end up there. And when people say, oh, this is scary, I'm not going to do anything with it, every person who says that, we're getting one step closer to having this in the hands of those guys in Silicon Valley. And the more centralized AI becomes, especially in the hands of private sector, the more dangerous it is. So we want it to be something that is decentralized, that is owned and used by people across the world, that is used by governments. We need people in government who can use AI, who understand AI, who can make policies around AI. So broad usage is really the best way to combat it, if you will, because it's the people who are scared of using it or say they're not going to use it, they're the ones who are indirectly, even though they don't want to, they're indirectly putting it in the hands of the few that are the ones that are going to use it and then in the end perhaps abuse it as well. So we all need to be involved. That's very, very key.
Wow, that's a really, really great answer. And I think that it kind of aligns with what I tell my documentary clients, right? Like doing the social justice and the, you know, the other things that I'm working on documentary wise. We have some lighthearted subjects too, rock climbing in there. But when they are worried about backlash or repercussions, I say more, but you're saying more eyes on the document keeps it legitimate and keeps it functional and it keeps it polished and regulated. And I like that. I mean, that's pretty much what you were saying. And I tell my clients, shine a light in dark places. If you're worried about what you're saying and you're pushing against a system, be in the media more, be upfront.
Yeah. Exactly. Be in the system more. Exactly. Yeah. Like, be in it, be part of it, participate, like try it out, test it, like have open eyes, like don't shut it down and don't just go out talk about like, no, 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 because there are going to be people on the other side that are going to be yes, yes, yes. And they're going to end up with a power. And especially in things like AI, we all need to have AI power. It's incredibly important because the people are not doing anything. They're going to end up leaving it in the hands of people who really, really want to be in charge of it. And that is the biggest danger in my mind.
Wonderful. Nelly, I could talk to you for an hour or more about this. We'll have to have you back. And I don't know. I foresee a TED Talk on how to use AI efficiently. I don't know. Maybe I'm not adding to your to-do list, of course. But where can people find? You want to give us your social media, or if people want to book a consultation? I don't know if your calendar is full these days, but where can people follow you?
So best is to connect with me on LinkedIn. So Nelly Wartoft on LinkedIn and find me there. That's where I post most of my thoughts and interact with people. And I also am open to people emailing me at Nelly. So that's N-E-L-L-I-E at tigerhall.com. And our website, of course, tigerhall.com. So that's tiger, the animal, and then hall, like H-A-L-L.
I hate to break it to you, everybody, but we've been using AI for a while. This has just become at the forefront and a little more commercial, right? I mean, when you go and you go online and you are going to AT&T, that's a chat bot. That's artificial intelligence.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And it will be even in even more places, and we're not going to be able to not have it around, right? So
just as long as you're not flying my plane completely. I mean, I know that we put it on autopilot, but keep it up there.
AI pilot soon. AI pilot.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time on this Sunday and being here on the Startup.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, and good to meet you.
You too, Nelly. Speak to you soon. All right. That was really insightful. If you're, you know, concerned about AI, or you don't really know, but we got sidetracked because she's so knowledgeable, but she's got a lot of different things she's doing, but mainly education. She touched on financing and raising capital for businesses. I like what she said about raise double and expect to have it for half the time, because money does go that way. I don't know why there's a piggy bank here, but there you go. That's to that point. All right. I think we have one more guest. Hello. I want to say your name correctly, so I'll let you introduce yourself.
Very kind of you. My name is Satyan Raja. Hello, Monique.
Hello, Satyan. Nice to meet you.
Thanks so much for having me. Sorry I'm not in the most opportune place. We've got power outage in my place, so I decided to do it from my car.
beautiful. We here at the startup often do shows in airports, in cars, at your friend's apartment. So I understand. And that's kind of the grit of being an entrepreneur. So it looks like a lovely car, too. So welcome. And so why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what your brand is and who you are?
My organization is called Warrior Sage, and we do executive trainings. I train executives to become black belts in leadership. And by that, I mean having their body, mind, spirit all aligned, having the company aligned in its highest values, having a mission that evokes the human spirit, and really having the highest in human dynamics get fired off within each individual and the synergy of that fired off in the group. So for me, I've realized, just like your previous speaker, who was wonderful, I might say, just her share was so aligned in what I was, you know, what I'm on as well, which is we're in a revolution of consciousness now in business. We know that it's mindset. We can have resources, we can have money, but if we don't have the correct mindset and the inner alignment, then whatever we put our attention to will somehow fail somewhere along the line. But if we have our mindset straight right from the beginning and keep it in the pocket, then success comes to our door. So that's what I'm about.
I love that. It reminds me of this. I've been doing that. Beautiful. So I'm interested because, you know, there's so many pebbles along my entrepreneurial journey. There've been some rough pebbles on my journey, a lot of us, but that led me here, right? So I'd love to hear what pebbles along your path brought you to where you are in this moment, and you decided to align it with energy, and it sounds like alignment, energy, and source, and all of those good things.
You got it. Well, you got it. You got it right at its essence. Well, you know, I come from a business family from my father's side, and my mother's side are all social servants. So, you know, in my heart, I was really inspired to create businesses that have impact, that have positive impact. And I've been blessed to be able to create many businesses in my life and have founded various businesses in many realms, in health and vitality and consciousness and leadership training and such. And, you know, that journey led me to realize that, you know, fulfillment, you know, we can have success in the outer world. I saw a lot of people around me. I achieved the outer success, if you will, and I wasn't fulfilled on the inside fully. And I saw this happening in the entrepreneurs around me who were successful on the outside, but at a soul spirit level, there was like a type of bankruptcy, a hollowness of being. And so I said, what worth is this, all these things, unless, you know, our soul is sparked. And so I went on that quest. I've been on that quest since very young to discover what are the wisdoms that we can bring from all the wisdom traditions. And my particular passion is for the warrior side of things, warrior and the sage. I have a passion for martial arts all my life. And to me, the principles in martial arts can really come into play, such as integrity, dedication, devotion. When you fall down 7 times, you get back on the 8th, you know? So I think that's a really valuable part for all of us entrepreneurs to cultivate.
I like that you sprinkle in a little sage in there to bring the warrior into balance. I'm with that. I see what you did there, Satine.
You see, the sage is the feminine, right? And it's your turn, Monique, yourself, other very powerful feminine leaders. I think it's time, because we've had a propensity of the huge scale being masculine leaders because of their natural energy of conquest and achievement and such. But feminine attainment, you know, the wisdom of the feminine is to enjoy not just the future when something will finally happen, but to enjoy the path, the flowers, the children, the family, the joy of life as part of the joy of entrepreneurship, not a destination of entrepreneurship. So I think the wisdom that you're bringing in, and I can feel, is so valid. And that's the sage, connecting with the earth wisdom, our body's wisdom, the natural rhythms of the earth, the planet, how to sleep, when to rest. That way we become much more powerful entrepreneurs when we're tapped into Mother Nature, we're tapped into spirit, and we're kicking ass, you know, in business.
I love it. I love that. Very well put. And it's interesting, as I'm in this transitional time as an entrepreneur, I'm moving out of one place here in Laguna and, you know, I'm manifesting a larger place. I'm surrounding myself with plants, with candles. I've tapped back into my fitness. I used to be a hurdler, and I said, I have to go back in instead of worrying about out, because in will pull what I want. And the minute I reminded myself, because you know how to do it. Everybody, you know how to do it. You have access to do it. And martial arts is great because, you know, you can control the stress and the anger and the, you know, whatever, and the happiness. I want to ask you, where in the world, besides here, where in the world would you say you felt most tapped in? I know that's hard. So I'd like to hear your top three. I know what my top, I think I know what my top three are. Or you can give me five. I don't
know. Wow, wow. Well, let me hear one of yours first. Give me one of yours.
Sure. I would say Bali is one of them.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. So a place for myself is the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, of course. Hello.
So we have a cottage there, and we're very blessed to be at the foothills of Pele, of the, and it's a very wild area full of life, and that really brings life to me. And I like to bring the CEOs I mentor to retreats there away from everything, because it's not a tourist area and life and death are right in your face, like volcanoes and lava and wild people and jungle. And so to me, that's like, and then where else? Peru.
Interesting. Have I been to Peru? Oh, I went to Chile. I was trying to get to Peru, but yeah. Yes. Tell me about Peru.
Peru is very close to my heart. You know, part of the work I do with executives is I take them outside of their boxes and their structure, and I take them into spiritual adventure tours in wild and crazy places. And so, you know, in Peru, I've taken many different journeys through all different sacred places. But to me, the heart is in the Amazon. Of course, Machu Picchu is profound, but the heart, when I love to take people into the heart of the sacred medicines of the Amazonian tribes there, which bring up
peyote, right? Peyote?
Well, ayahuasca is the main one that they use there, which is an illumination of spirit from in being very, very potent. So that is very special to my heart. And of course, where I live, British Columbia, is really like, to me, nature is where I come from and where I'm going to at the end of all days. So it's my mother and it's my father. And so I'm very blessed to be in the countryside in British Columbia.
Well, I'm going to connect you with them. I think that we have them. Do I have them coming up again? The Journeymen. They're in Canada and they do journeys. And yes. Look them up. The Journeymen. I'll have to get that to you. You're in BC. So it'd be close to go to Rivajek. Iceland's another place for me that I feel really connected.
I haven't. Tell me about that.
Iceland's amazing, but I love Bjork anyway, but Iceland was just so amazing. The way that they integrate solar and the natural food they have a nurse, like there's an indoor greenhouse and you can pick your plant and put it in your food. It's fresh, literally farm to table. But then it's Iceland, but there's, you know, geysers shooting up right before your eyes. And it's just, the Blue Lagoon is crazy awesome. It's heated by the earth. I mean, Iceland's really special as well. So
you got me inspired. I'm going.
Check it out. You're very close. The flight's not bad. All right. Well, thank you for being here. And let's plug, where can executives, people who are looking to take it to the next level, I don't know what your calendar looks like these days. It's probably booked up. Where can people find you?
Well, go to warriorsage.com and you'll see there. They've got many of my talks, many of my shares. There's my new books, Transcendent CEO and Culture and Accelerated Evolution, that you can find there specifically for executives who have a desire to awaken and take the path of awakening that's unique to business-oriented people. Then that's your place to check out, okay?
I'm excited. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
You're most welcome. A joy, Monique. All the best to everyone. Be well.
Be well. All right. Bye-bye. All right, guys, what a power-packed show. I'm so impressed. I got to tell you, sometimes when you're winging it and you're moving and shaking, you really get the best. Thank you so much to Crystal, to Nelly, to Heidi, and Satine. Everybody, thank you for tune in next weekend. I have a power-packed show next weekend. It's going to be great. And let's see, follow me on the Startup, at the Startup with Monique LaRae on Instagram, or my personal page, at Monique LaRae Stinson. We have a pandemic project, pandemic film, and the endemic project update coming up soon. You might see me in South Africa soon in the next few weeks, if all goes well. But you will see me in a new studio really, really soon. What will you start up today? I'll see you next week. Be well. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.